Come on. And we're holding actually at the two dots. That's about a fifth of the way down. We have a little bit of a problem because the first part of the Mishnah says Mishi Yatzar Berishut. So he gets al payinam alachol ruach. That's funny. But then it goes on and says, but if he was Yotze Lahatzil, which seems to be the same as Yotze Berishut, Yotze Lahatzil, then he can go back. Because Rimlin and Komat go back home, then the implication is you can go back home from wherever it is that you got to, even if it's more than al payinam. How do we exactly understand this and square the Mishnah? Omer of Yudom Rav, what it means is, the Chiddush over here is it means that they take their weapons home, even though it's Shabbat. We're not talking about bringing themselves home. Well, first of all, why is it a problem at all? Why can't we just say that there's two different types of Hatzalah? I mean, Dumala Hatzil Shaini. I mean, it says that we Mishiyatza Bershut. I mean, Mishiyatza Bershut could mean he was coming late to Tachodesh or something. I mean, Lahatzil, which is a special thing. You know, okay, I understand that. An ambulance has to be allowed back to its place. They go back to their place. The soldiers need to go back to the command post or whatever. So there it means you go back no matter how far you went. If it means that you went out for, let's say, Kiddush HaKodesh, then why should you have to go back? Why did you make a problem out of this in the first place? No, Yikasha HaKasha. The truth is, we were a little bit pulling the wool over your eyes. We had more information. The mission itself obviously really wouldn't have been a problem. We would have just said there's two different types of Hatzalah. There's a Hatzalah and then there's a mitzvah. But we have to know the Mishnah that's in Rosh Hashanah. And that's really what we were asking on the Tanakh. B'rishonah lo hayu zazim misham kol hayom kulo. The Edim that used to come out and were given, allowed to leave Chutz Tchum for Edut HaChodesh. So once they got there, they weren't allowed to go out. Only had Arba Amot. Then came along the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken. Sheyesh lehem alpayim amalachol ruach. Okay. By the way, it's an interesting question, Bechlal. If you hold Chumim or Dioraita, how can you make a takana to give them alpayim lekol ruach? Because before you're going out of the tchum. I mean, there's you seem to have a definitive psak from Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken, old psak that the Chumim are not Dioraita. If you recall, when we began the Masechta, I mentioned to you that the question over here about tchum is whether it's the yitziyah chutz the tchum per se, or it's walking more than that distance. Here is where it becomes very much noged. There's a long Ramban that has an analysis for the whole Isser of Tchumim, in which he's Machadish that the Isser is not Yitziyah Chutz V'Tchum, even if you hold Tchumim in the Yoraita, which is a tremendous Chiddush, and that the Isser is walking the entire Tchum and Chutz Alo B'Isser. But if you're Chutz L'Tchum and you didn't leave the Tchum B'Isser, it would still not be an Isser Yoraita to continue to walk. So these Alpayim Ama would be true, he says, even if you hold Tchumim in the Yoraita. This is something that we'll have to see more of later, but I assume that it bothered you as soon as we read the Mishnah. So, okay, this takana yishlam alpayim mam lekol ruach, this is no matter how far you went, as we mocked them to go for Kiddush HaChodesh, as far as they need to go. V'lo elo bilvadam, now it continues on there in the Mishnah to say, and by the way, it's not the only case. Elo afilu kachamaha ba'ale leid. So you have a midwife that went out on an emergency like that, or a balatzim and hagayas, there was an invading troops, that they needed to call out the army for, or Minanahar, if there was flooding, hurricanes, all of these kind of things, you need people, or Minamapolet, you had collapsed buildings, Minadleka, there was a fire, all of the emergency services are allowed to go out of the tchum, and are given from the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken, even after the emergency is over, Arayin Kanshei Ha'ir, and they are allowed to Yishma Payim HaMala Kol Ruach. So now, on that, here's where the question was. On that, we ask, now wait a minute, what about the Mishnah Eruvin, our Mishnah, which says that your Alpayim Amot are not meaningful, they're too low, they only have Alpayim Amot. There it says no matter how far they went, you're allowed to go back. That's what we were asking over there. Obviously, you can't be Bechalik and say it's only for Yotzin Lahatzil, because I mean, it gives all the examples over there, Kiddush HaKodesh, together with emergency services or medical services and so on. Om Rav Yonah Merav, and that's where Rav Yonah Merav said, Shechazrim Bechalei Zayin Limikomam. The Kiddush is that they are not Machmer in any way. They don't try to put away whatever weapons they're using and not carry them, they carry them with them. Kidatanya Grishan Ayumanekin Kli Zainan Babayat Asamukla Choma. They had a tefen originally that they should put away the Kli Zayin as soon as it's possible, should not continue to carry it. And what happened is, Pa'amachati Kiruba Hanoibim wrote for Akhreya. And one time, the enemies apparently came to the understanding that this is what's going on, and they figured after they put the weapons away, that would be a great time to wipe out these troops. So they start chasing them. So these guys run back to try to get into the weapons room to try to get their guns out, and it ended up being an absolute catastrophe. They had so much panic going on over there, and wild firing, and God knows what. It ended up being catastrophic loss of life. From that point, they were metaken, no taking chances, and you carry your weapons back to where you need to go. I don't understand exactly what exactly the question is. I mean, obviously, it depends who wins, no? I mean, it's a conscience. If the war is over, then what's the point of needing the army back in the area? You won, and that's it. So now, fine, we'll come back after Shabbat. Whereas Khan, Shinitzko, Moto Allah, Metatzmam, we don't even want to say that they were Menatzer Yisrael. We're talking a euphemism, so if they were Menatzer, obviously we have to continue to fight and be prepared at our command post, etc. Om Revido Merab, Nochrim Shitzaru Alayarot Yisrael, Enyotzin Alehem Bechleizanam, Vein Mechalim Alehem Et Shabbat. If you have Goyim that have besieged a city, we don't attack them on Shabbat. Tani Ami Achi, etc., etc. Nothing should sorrow. But over there it clarifies, this is only if they're not interested in waging war. Basically, they're coming in order to extract funds or whatever, so okay. But if there's any question, whatever, you do whatever. I mean, the thing is that a city that could end up falling, being damaged, Yiras Mukhal Svar, so then I feel lobo all these kingdoms. I don't care if they're coming basically to burn down the granaries. I mean, they wouldn't dare attack the city itself. It makes no difference. There, if it's a border city, you cannot allow any type of encroachment of foreign troops. And then Yotzina Leim Bechleizainan, Mechalim Leit HaShabbat, and once they gain a foothold in a border town, then who knows what could come next? And then, you know, you have the way is open to them, and that's dangerous. That's viewed as iskenim for short, no matter what they think they're doing.
Unless they have European observers.
What good are European observers? Sorry. I mean, European observers make things worse usually.
Okay. So, yeah. That was my sarcasm.
Yeah. All right. Omer of Yosef bar Ben Yomi, Omer of Nachum, who Bovel ki iras mucha usvardam. This is a fascinating thing. In Bovel, we go out on Shabbat. Teguma Narada. Now that they explain it, that means the town of Narada. The town of Narada marked the edge of the Jewish Yishuv. Beyond Narada was all non-Jewish. It was a very strong Jewish settlement from Narada on. And therefore they viewed it actually as being self-defense, and that they would protect Narada as if it was a Sfar in Eretz Yisrael, because it isn't Nogea specific to Eretz Yisrael. It's Nogea ultimate Sakanat Nefashot. If the Goyim think they could start doing pogroms on a Jewish city on the edge, then there'll be no stopping them. Dorash of the Stoidim in Biri. My dechtiva, Yagiru to David Lemor, Neplishtim Nilchamin Bekila, Vehema Shosim et Agranot. Basically, this halacha can really be seen from those stories in Shmuel, because David finds out that the Plishtim are burning the granaries in Kigila. So, but they weren't attacking anybody. There was no loss of life. There was no violence. Tana Ki'ila happens to be in Yiras Muchel Esfarhaita. Ve'im lo ba'o ela l'isket even v'kash. They were only coming really to cause damage. But ve'im ha'shasim et agranot, there may have been some type of economic war in which they felt the Jews were unfair trade, whatever, but it wasn't a major issue. Ukti va'ish'al David ba'ashem le'mor. David asks now the Urim v'tumim, So, what exactly do you think that David was asking the Urim V'Tumim? My Kabi Baal, Ilema Ishori Yerasser, is it that it was a Shabbat? So he was asking whether it's Mutar to go and to fight in Ki'ilah. Since when does the Urim V'Tumim have any business answering halakhic questions? I mean, you have a halakhic question. All right, Beit Dino Shel Shmona Ramati Kayam. Go to Beit Din. What the heck are you asking God? What does he know about halakha? Ella imitzlach, ilo mitzlach. So the question has to be whether the war would be matzliach. That's the issue. Deganami dechtiv. You can see this clearly from the answer to Urim V'Thummim. Dechtiv leich miketav plishtim vohoshata at kiyilav. It's a vohoshata. That's right. I'm telling you, you will win the war. So shmamina that was the problem. Now, so what the chlal is the raya then that we're bringing over here? So Tosis explains Rashi is clearly saying the same thing because he brings basically the same language. He says that the point over here is that Rabbi Dostoy darshitz reinachim mechalel at the Shabbat because even though this was a minor issue, nonetheless, David felt that it was necessary to actually open a war. I mean, forget about Shabbat. You don't just you're going to go out now and make a war out of an issue where they're having some type of economic battle. So you see that since David felt, says Tosfot, that it's kedai to have this type of dramatic response to an attack on burning grain, that obviously that's exactly the psak that he had. That you need to go for Shabbos. He obviously would have gone out on Shabbos too once he's going out to war. So therefore, you can learn from here that had it been on Shabbat, that he would have gone out as well.
Is this the case referred to in the first paragraph of Brachos?
No.
Zuk da ha'nike mishnah.
Nishi ha'shav baderech. A guy sits down to rest, and it's getting dark. And he figures, okay, looks like I'm camping out for Shabbat. And then he stands up, and oh my gosh, oh, there's a town. I could have kept going, and I would have been Kodesh Shvisa in the town. Says Rabbi Meir, you didn't have in mind to be part of this. I mean, obviously you can go in if it's within your tum, but you don't get the whole city to be like the Anshei Ha'ir because you had in mind to be Kona your Shvita here in the middle of the field. And Kinyan Shvita needs to be a conscious thing. And Lachar, lo yikanes. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yudah Omer yikanes. You don't need to be mechavein, and I'll tell you, says Rabbi Yehuda, maaseh hayad. Actually, I can report on an actual psak alokal maaseh that Rabbi Tarfon was nichnas b'lo mitkavein. He came into a city despite the fact that he wasn't aware on Erev Shabbat when he sat down. He wasn't aware that there was a city nearby. And the maaseh with Rabbi Tarfon is explained in the Gemara Tanya. Omer Rabbi Yehuda maaseh b'Rabbi Tarfon shayim aleich baderech v'chashchalo v'lan chutz lir. So he slept. He slept outdoors. He didn't. And he didn't make it into town for Shabbos. L'shacharit matzu ro'e bakar. In the morning, some shepherds find him, sleeping out there in the field. And they were shocked that he was on. Rebbe, are you lefanecha? You're 2 minutes away from the center of town. Why should you go to sleep over here for? Come on into town. So they invite him in, and he comes in, nichnas, via Shabbat Beit HaMidrash, v'darash kolayom kulo. And he gave a big drasha. A famous maysa, man, telling over something people don't know. So you see the Rabbi Tarfon indeed relied on the fact that even though he wasn't aware of the Torah, that he was going to the Torah. Amru lo misham rayan. How do you, first of all, you don't even know what he knew or what he didn't know. You're reporting that he slept outside, which necessarily means that he didn't know. Maybe he slept outside because they have the energy to go into town, whatever. Do I know? So first of all, Shema b'libo, I thought maybe he did have in mind to be going to Shvita, that he knew. Well, you know what? How do you know that his tchum didn't end in a way that allowed him to go to the Beit HaMidrash? There's no din, you can't go into the town. So you don't get the tchum of the town. So if the Beit HaMidrash was betoch alpayim ama from where he was, you're giving over insufficient information to prove your contention. I mean, there may be a number of issues here which are mitigating circumstances and therefore don't prove that you could be nichnas without das to be kena. Mishi hashan baderach. In another case, somebody who sleeps outdoors, and he's asleep at the time that Shabbat falls. And then he wakes up, and he realizes, oh my heavens, boy, I really slept a long time. Looks like I'm going to have to stay here all Shabbat. But the point is, he never had conscious awareness of the fact that Shabbat was falling and that he needs to be Kone Shvita here. Now it's too late. He can't be Kone Shvita on Shabbat. So now, what's going to be with him? Yesh lo apayim amal kol ruach. Nonetheless, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, what's the difference if he knew or he didn't know? I mean, he was there, so he was Konan. The Chachamim amrim, the Chachamim say, look, a person didn't have, he wasn't even awake. So he obviously didn't have in mind to be Konan Shvita. So he has no tchum, basically. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, these Arba Amot are measured with him in the middle of the Arba Amot. This is the Rabbi Eliezer that we saw before, that talks about if you're within two amot of your tchum, you can enter into the tchum because of avla'ah. So here's what it's based on. This is Rebbe Eliezer Shita that says that the four amot that are given to you is you in the center, and then you have two amot to either direction. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, la'ezadar shiyirtzei elek. Rebbe Yehuda says, no, he was given four amot. He can walk four amot from where he is. However, modi Rebbe Yehuda shin birer lo shenei yachol lachzorbo. Rebbe Yehuda is modi that it's not that he gets now a circle around himself of four amot. He has to choose where, what direction he wants to go in. And then he gets those four amot, but he can't now change his mind and say, well, actually, I'll go back to where I was and start the other four amot. So even though you do have four amot from where you are, it's a one-time thing, says Rebbe Yehuda. Now, suppose two people were stuck out in the middle of a non-tchum.
Well, so it sounds like Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yehuda Machlok is what the Chachamim meant? Or how is the
Chachamim? No, Rebbe Eliezer argues on the Chachamim Bechut. What the Takon is, the Arba Amot, you mean those Chachamim?
No, here, the Chachamim says he only has Arba Amot. Right?
Okay,
so,
yeah.
So Rebbe Eliezer says, what did the Chachamim say about
that? You're explaining what, everybody agrees that if you don't have Alpayim, what you're saying is not quite accurate. Because when the Chachamim say Eino El Arba Amot, they're not making a Takon, they're just reporting that he's like a person without a Tchum. The long-standing halacha, way before these chachamim, that someone without a tchum has arba amot, which they're referring to. What is that arba amot? That's a machlokas. These chachamim had no opinion about the arba amot.
You don't have the other.
You don't have a bimam. You have arba amot. Now, what is arba amot? We have two sheets. So, suppose you have two people that are stuck in the middle of nowhere, and they each have their arba amot, and if you draw arba amot, and you end up with some overlap. Now the question over here is, in the overlap, let's say they want to make a picnic, and you have an overlap, do we have to be gozer that, well, maybe someone will take somebody else's coat, take it out of the Arba Amot, and then it's going to be over on carrying his kelim outside of his Tchum Shabbat, and so on. That's going to be a problem. Are you allowed to make a picnic? I mean, once you're out there, heck, you might as well enjoy yourself. So, you got a long time to picnic. So, are you miktzat amotav shalzeh, betoch amotav shalzeh, maybe invoklin b'ensa. In the overlap area, you can have a picnic together. Of course, taking care, ubevat shelo yotzi zeh mitoch shelo, letoch shel chaverot. You mustn't carry from one area into the other area.
Only into the overlap.
Each one can carry his own things in his own area, because his kelim have the same dinim as he has. But he can't carry the other person's kelim into his area. He can't put his bottle of coke and extend it outwards to give it to the other guy.
It's a potluck with the
man. Well, we have a picture of the picnic?
Yeah, we have a picture of the picnic.
No, there's no basket or anything.
Well, what are they eating?
I'm reaching for a wine.
Uh-huh. I see. So the picnic is to explain the nature of overlap.
Yeah. Let's see.
Wow. I never would have imagined.
What are they eating? Graphics are phenomenal.
Yeah, that's great. We got to sell books.
The guy got paid by the fiction.
Okay, so then in such a case, there'd be no gezeirah. And suppose you have now three people, okay? And the middle guy is muvlah b'nehem. Now this middle guy, basically, is on the edge, and he's got areas with both of them. But they are out of each other's range, but they're both in the range of the middle guy. So now in that case, obviously the two people on the other end, they can't exchange anything. But the middle guy, he can enjoy himself with both of them. So that's good. So exactly. So who mutari mayhem? And each one of them is mutarinimo. Vishnayim achitzonim asurim zeimzeh. Omar Rabbi Shimon, l'ma'a davar domeh. There are such situations that arise because of other dinim of Otsa'ah on Shabbat, and there too we don't aser because of the chashash that maybe someone will take from one of the pieces that are aser to them. For instance, suppose you have shalosh chatzerot haptuchot zulizot, okay? Imagine a case where instead of four amot, you have a chatzer. So you have chatzerot. How do you make overlapping chatzerot? By making an erev. So suppose the middle chatzer makes an erev with the chatzer on the right, and it makes the chayiv with the chatzer on the left. Now that means that the middle chatzer is allowed to carry from the left to the right. But the left is not allowed to carry to the right because they never made an erev with the people on the right. So that's the equivalent of Havlaha, and then we don't have a chashash that you'll end up, maybe if they could carry from the middle, and there's people that are also to them in the middle, maybe they'll, no, we don't, so we don't answer that. So this is no different than that. And they're also ptuchot rishut harabim. Irvu. Now, yeah, because otherwise we might have a problem, you see, if they weren't ptuchot rishut harabim, and one chatzer has to go through the other two chatzerot, then we already saw that people cutting through the other chatzer, that's only in ingress or egress, then that creates a problem. But over here, they have their own entrance way. So, irvu shtayim ima emtsai, so himutarat ima em, himutarat ima. Nonetheless, the shtayim achitzonot are still asarot zo imzo. Now, all of this seems very simple on the surface, and Rashi makes it extremely complicated, and nobody is quite sure why Rashi makes it so complicated. What Rashi does is he creates a new problem. And he says that there's one issue over here, is you're not allowed to take your chafetzim out because chafetzav kiraglav. So therefore, you mustn't remove something beyond where you're allowed to go. So that seems to handle it, right? And then he goes on to this whole business of, and over here, since you are within a non-tchum, because you were only given arba amot, we already know, don't we, that arba amotav shel adam are considered to be the equivalent of a reshut, because we saw that regarding the issue of huve uvo b'makom echad, where Rava said before, we have these sort of virtual machitzas, or a case of somebody who's kone shvita beraglav. It has to be that he creates that makom, that arba amot. There's a number of areas where we give that area then of a reshut hayachid. Therefore, says Rashi, being as each one is a separate reshut hayachid because of these virtual reshuyot in terms of the dinim of tchum, it's no different than any other isser of carrying from one reshut into another reshut without an eruv. And therefore, you have the problem of being unable to carry all the achronim, and what the heck is that needed for the tchum? You just said you're not allowed to carry your food outside of the tchum. Why do we need to create now an additional problem of carrying Rishus to Rishus to Rabban, and why is that the issue? There's a lot of different approaches among the Afronim, none of which are very, very persuasive. So let's see as we continue whether we can see any indication in the Gemara as to what Rashi is being marviyach with all of this. Boy wrote, Maika Sava Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. What exactly is Rav Yochanan ben Nuri's logic over here in saying that he can be fast asleep and it doesn't make any difference? There's two possibilities, and we already examined these possibilities before because we spoke about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in passing earlier. Is it that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that actually chafzehef kekonim shvita? You don't need consciousness for shvita. Shvita is simply a function of where something is. By the same token, if you are an inanimate object and therefore did not have in mind to be kone shvita, nonetheless, you have a shvita, and the difference would be is that somebody would not be allowed to take you out of your makom. It's not your makom shvita. Or, I mean, if that's the case, then of course a human being is no less than, you know, a book. I mean, if a book is kone shvita when it was left outdoors, so a human being is fast asleep as a book. So,
vegetable.
Yeah, vegetable. So, I mean, according to this lesson, it's a vegetable. In the next case, it's so the truth is, I mean, we didn't have to complicate matters by making it a human issue. We could have just said, is a vegetable meant to stay in its place? Or can you carry a tomato outside of its tchum? I mean, on yonder. We could have asked that too. So bedinu deliflod bekalim. We could have simply asked about anything. Hadakam mitzvah ba'adam. The only reason we mentioned adam is to tell me that even in a case where this person is not a vegetable, he's sleeping. So, I mean, he could wake up at any moment. So I might think but since had he been awake, he would have been kone. So maybe the point is chafzei hefker aren't kone because they're unable to have a makom shvita. A makom shvita presupposes a relationship to a place. I mean, how does a vegetable have a relationship to a place? So mamela, maybe there the rabbanon, if I would have argued only about that, maybe there the rabbanon would have said, what then? Why can't you carry something? The thing doesn't belong in any particular place. If it doesn't belong to anybody, if it belongs to somebody, then it could be an extension of his place. But like this? So then I would say, okay, I understand that. But of course, the Rabbanan would have agreed that if it's a human being, it was kone shvita, even though he's sleeping. Therefore, the Mishnah wanted to talk about a case of a human being to tell me, even in that case, the Rabbanan would hold that you're not Krona Shmita. Maybe. Or it may be that there's a different issue. Maybe actually Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds normally Chavtzei Hefker ain't Krona Shmita. Maybe everybody holds that Chavtzei Hefker do not have a Shmita. And on the contrary, it's only because of a human being, that's why he is Krona Shmita, because Hocha Hainutayma Hol V'Ne'ur Kone, so Yoshenami Kone. Since he is capable of being a Krona Book of Shmita, he has a relationship with the place that he is, the specific awareness and the act of Kinyan is not a necessity for Kinyan Shmita. Maybe that's all that Rabbi Yochanan and Ben Nuri is saying. Now, there's a very interesting question that Tosfos raises here that just has impact on how we think about the whole sugya of Kinyan Shmita. Tosfos says, why would the Gemara say that we would want to have spoken about a case of Adam, Lodiach HaKulchan deRabbanan, that the Rabbanan say he wasn't going to Mokum Shmita because he's fast asleep, right? Says Tosfos, well, wouldn't it be better to tell me about Kelim and that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is being mechadish that it is going to Mokum Shmita because over there it's called the Atera. Because if it has a Mokum Shmita, so then it's able to have 2,000 amot, whereas if it doesn't have a makom shmita, so then it's only 4 amot. And we always say, kvav tetera adif. So if we're choosing a direction to say a Mishnah, we would certainly have chosen the kvav tetera, and therefore, ipso facto, it cannot be that the Mishnah was said specifically in this case, lo diaka kokon the rabbonah, to try again. So this can't be the correct explanation. Says Tosfos, no. Being kone shmita is not necessarily a kula. It's also a chumrah. Because according to the Rabbanan, if you're not Kona Shmita, then if somebody finds these things on Shabbat, they get his Trum. Which means that he's able to carry them wherever he was Kona Shmita. Even though that may be very far from where they are right now. Therefore, why would we say that Lo Diach HaKokom Rav Yochanan is always a Kula on the contrary? Alright, so it's important to take that into consideration. Alright, so what Lamaisa is the reasoning of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri? Omer Rav Yosef, well, there's no way to prove it from within the sugya. However, we can prove it by looking a little bit afar. Take a look at this bracha. Tashma. Gishamim shiyardu mi erev yom tov. If it rains, erev yom tov, fills up some things, a cistern outside of your city. Yeshlem alpayim amal l'chol ruach. Those rains can be carried on yom tov 2,000 amot from the place where they fell. If, on the other hand, they fell on Yom Tov itself, harein k'chol adam, k'rag l'chol adam, so then anybody who picks them up, he now creates the Mokum Shvita for them. They become his. But they don't have their own Mokum Shvita because they weren't Kona Shvita before. So, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning indeed is that a sleeping human is no worse than a bottle of water, and a bottle of water would be Kone Shvita, then here the bottle of water that fell from the sky on Erev Yom Tov was Kone Shvita. And that would explain why it says over here that you can carry them up by Imam of the Choruach, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says so. So how many Rabbi Yochanan? But if you're going to tell me that even Rabbi Yochanan is mode, that Chavtzei Hefker ain't Konim Shvita, so why does it say you can only carry these things? 2,000 Amot, why should you only, I don't understand. So who's it going to over here? So Hamani lo Rabbi Yochanan v'lo Rabbanan. It works out that it's not going to anybody. Apparently, Chavtzei Hefker were Kona a particular place where they fell, and a bottle of Gan Eden water is wherever it is, and you can't carry it outside of the Alpayim Amot where it fell. Sounds like a good proof. So Abaye was very impressed with this, and he was saying this whole thing over. So Yosef Abaye the Kona lo Shmaisa. So Rav Safra said to Abaye, I don't get that. I don't understand the proof. I mean, how do we know that it's not talking about a case where it was raining near a city? So the Gishamim were smuchim le'ir eskina. Maybe the case was over there. There were people in town. There was a rainstorm around the town. And anshei otahair datam ilui. The people in town had in mind to go out and to enjoy that water on Yantiv, and therefore it was their makom shmita. Not a chance. That couldn't be the pshat and say that it's because people were thinking about it and not because of Chavtzei Hefker. It has to be because of Chavtzei Hefker, Konim Shvita. Because it's not. Bor shel yachid, terag le yachid. If someone owns a bor, then that boar is an extension of himself. If somebody else takes anything out of that boar, he can only carry that thing according to the tchum of the original person. If the owner of the boar, for instance, made an eruv out to the west and lost all of his rights to carry to the east, and you made an eruv out to the east, you can't carry any of this out to the east because this water doesn't have a tchum to the east. Fine. If it's shelotah ir, if it's water, a cistern that belongs to that city, then it's karagle otah ir. So then it's like the city is, and whatever din, somebody who lives in that city, has the water has. If it's the ole bavel, if it's water that belonged to the public, the ole bavel was the reference that we used to the borot on the road, so then it's basically hefker, in other words. So then it gets a din of kiragle hamimale. The one who fills it up, he's the one who has the tchum, and defines the tchum for that water. Vitanya, but on the other hand it says, bor shel shvatim yesh lama ba'im am lechol ruach. On the other hand it says, borot that are owned by the shvatim, that is borot shel olei bavel, public borot, they have only al ba'im ama, which implies that you're kone shvita in their place. So we have a contradiction in these brayta, do we not? So kashina hadadi, ela lav shmamina ha rabbi yochanan ben nuri ha rabbanan. Therefore, it's not going to help you, because there's no way out of the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds Heftzei Hefker or Kodim Shvita. Otherwise, who said this other braita that you can't possibly say that Barot Shvatim has to do with somebody's dot? There's no way out of it. It's clear 100% that Rabbi Yochanan Shita is that Heftzei Hefker, even not people, even a bottle of water, is Kena Mokom, wherever it is. He also the comment of Rabbi Yosef. When he came to Rabbi Yosef and said over this whole story, okay, here was the Maisa. Rav Safra attacked me, says Abaye to Rabbi Yosef. I answered him, but good. And I told him, I was not going to give him any help. So he tells him, okay, come Rav Safra, okay, how do you like? So Rabbi Yosef said to him, I understand you guys get so, like, far flung in your arguments. You could have spoken about the case, but you have to go to say, well, it's not going to help you. That's not the point. It's impossible from within the text itself. Amarlo tema le mikufa. You should have pointed out to him that textually it can't be that the explanation is that the das of the people in the local city was that the gegeshev should be used for them. Because the isal kadaitek, because shamimas buchim le'iraskina. If you think that the meaning over here was that the people in town are koveya the tchum, so then why does it say yeshem apayim l'chol ruach? That isn't the issue. It doesn't have apayim l'chol ruach. What you need to say is Aran Karagli Otoa Yir. That's the way that we always refer to a chayfetz that belongs to someone that follows his dot. So why didn't it say that? It should have said Hokaragle Anche Otoa Yir Mi Boile. Since it didn't say that, it's clear Mine Ube that he is talking about Chafze Hefter, not Chafze Mayim Shel Otoa Yir. Oh, Mama, but something else interests me over here. You said water that falls on Yontev basically can be picked up by anybody, because it doesn't have any makom shvita, and it gets the din of the person that picks it up. Wait, hold on a second. This water was part of the ocean yesterday, 200 miles offshore. Why wasn't it kona shvita after kona shvita? So you're contradicting yourself. So that it was kona shvita before. So now it's water that has left its tchum, because now it's been carried away, it evaporated, it's condensed in clouds, came over your town, you're not allowed to use this water. It was brought to Chutz Tchum. So it should only have Arba Amo. So Likne Shvita Bokianus, why wasn't it Kona Shvita in the middle of the ocean? Unless this Tana holds, not like Rebbe Eliezer. Because Rebbe Eliezer's Shita is that all rain is to be viewed as ocean waters, evaporated ocean water. We don't take into consideration other sources of water. On Rav Yitzchak, maybe the case is over here that it was stormy already from Erev Yom Tov. So there were clouds that were overhead. Oh, really? I mean, it's the same cloud, huh?
They didn't move.
And you know, how do you know these are the same clouds? No, these are Simona the Gabbai. What do you mean? The guy has a Simon Mulek in the cloud. That cloud is shaped exactly like Harry Potter, and it hasn't changed. So it's still the same cloud. And you know what? And even if you're not sure it's the same cloud, it's a suffix to Divrei. You're not sure it's the same. Maybe it's the same cloud, maybe it's not. If it's the same cloud, so then it wasn't Kona Shvita in the Okeanos, so then there's no problem. So it's a Sabbath Divrayim is Lahaka. Hey, wait a minute, wait. But how about if the clouds are more than a kilometer above the surface, and then it turns out they were Kona Mokum Shvita up in the sky, so how are you allowed to use them? I mean, maybe this is a riot. There's no tchumim l'mala mi'asara. We got back to our old sugya over here. So we should say lutnei shvita ba'avim. Why don't they kona shvita in the clouds? And then we should bring a riot from here. Ah, tishad mi'ad ein tchumim l'mala mi'asara. Must be there's no tchum. This l'mala mi'asara sugya has gotten us like that. All the way to Eliyo, Yosef Shita, Mashiach, and now questions of really in the clouds. So. So says the Gemara, no. Le'olam emalach yesh tchumim. Elamala miyasar. Could be that there is a tchumim, but nonetheless, maya be'iva mivla b'liyeh. They don't have a din of water when they're part of a cloud. They're clouds. They become rains. They become something new. Oh, boy. Now you're in big trouble. Because then they should be also as nolai. If there wasn't, you told me, we didn't have a din of water before. Now we shouldn't be allowed to use it at all. Whoops, sorry to forget about that. Okay. Of course you can have it, like Nola de Asire. Alright, sorry, take that back. But, water in clouds is no different than a boat on the ocean. It's constantly moving. So if it's constantly moving, it can't be going on a shmisa. So it's minad naya. Oh, now, why are we thinking of that before? Now that I figured that out, I don't have any problem with the ocean. Even if Lamaisa, this water evaporated today offshore and then was deposited here. In a storm, what was the problem? It was Kona Shvita in the ocean? No way. It wasn't Kona Shvita in the ocean. Because it's moving constantly. Said, Okeanos Nami Lo Dikshalacha. Our first question is no longer a question. Maya Okeanos Nami Mina Naide. What do you think? Water stands still in the ocean? V'tanya Neharota Moshtim U'maya Nota Novein Harein Karagle Kol Adam. We have a fair Shepsak and a Braita. Moving water does not have a Mokum Shvita, period. So anybody who takes water from a moving source doesn't have a problem, because it becomes his, and it's his Makam Shemitah and Shabbat. So if that's the case, the ocean water is the same thing. Therefore, when it falls as rain, now it becomes Makam Ragla Kol Adam, so whoever gets it.
Actually, Mayan and Nar do move, but water of the ocean does not. It basically sits there, waves moving up over the water.
I understand, but it still moves a little. There's currents, there's not only waves. You're talking about a theoretical case. Where you would have a completely current, still ocean that only has waves in it. I mean, that's a laboratory situation, not a real life situation.
And my
try pouring some colored water into the ocean, see how long it takes for it to disperse.
Okay.
Gentlemen, that was fun.